Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This program explores different ways that the gospel informs and enlightens family living. My name is Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. And today I'm joined with Linda K. Burton, Relief Society General President. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Matt.
And also Cheryl A. Esplin, who is the second counselor in the Primary General Presidency. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be back with you.
This is so great. And in truth, we have already been talking a little bit about today's topic of understanding and strengthening affection in marriage and family living with a previous episode. And in that episode, we talked about the purpose of affection and intimacy. I think it might be helpful because I'd like to explore practical ways that we can recognize affection and achieve intimacy. But it might be helpful if we just do a very quick recap so that we're on the same page of what is the purpose of affection and what is the purpose or the reason for intimacy. So let's talk about that just very quickly. What is the purpose of affection?
Affection leads to intimacy. It's a manifestation of how you feel about someone.
Okay, good. And I think that that's an important element that we underscored in our last episode, and we need to make that as a foundation here, is it leads to intimacy. In the world, they usually connect them as the same. You can't separate, oh, are we talking about affection and intimacy or slash intimacy? In this case, affection is a manifestation of what we are feeling that leads to intimacy. And what is intimacy then?
What we talked about, intimacy is getting into someone's life, to being a part of someone's life,
and letting someone into your own life.
And letting someone
Good.
Into, yes.
So affection then is that manifestation or that representation of what we are feeling. It allows or permits, empowers intimacy to occur. So the real goal is intimacy, to allow that. You have seen marriages and families, and you can look at marriages and families that seem to be doing well. And perhaps what I use this actually with my wife quite a bit, because she understands the way that I think. I will often say that right there is an intimate family. And what I mean by that is you can see that they are connected. There's something unique about the way that they do this. And you can see affection taking place, but you can see that the affection is taking hold in the way that they're connected. Did that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm thinking of two different families as you say that. One is a very touchy feeling, and it's very obvious because they're stroking each other's backs. They're very touchy, but in a beautiful, appropriate way.
Right.
But another family, their intimacy shows in their nicknames and their little family, you know, their little family connections that nobody else knows about. And so they're very different ways, but just as connected.
This is really a good point, and we briefly touched upon this in our last episode, is that there are different ways to express affection. And if intimacy is the goal, there are a lot of different ways. This is, for example, for me, what fast and testimony meeting is about. The end experience in testimony meeting is to have witnesses of many different individuals together and finding peace and saying, you believe too? Me too. You know as well, I do too. But sometimes we get caught up in the way that people come to know, and then we doubt our own testimony sometimes. I thought I knew until I heard Sister So-and-so's testimony, and she has all these great experiences. It's not so much how we come to know, although that is important, and I'll never take away from that, but it's the fact that we know. Mm-hmm. And so intimacy, when families realize this, it's the fact that they're intimate or connected inside one another, the way they get there with affection, as long as it's appropriate to bring about the end, it's not so important, or it's not, there's only one way. So I hope we can explore that a little bit. What are different ways then that we can use or see affection in the lives of our family members and even in our spouse that brings about this intimacy? What have you noticed?
I think it needs to be expressed.
Okay.
You know, sometimes we might think, well, I know that I love him or them, and so they should know that. But and we show it through our actions, but I think it feels good sometimes to just hear it.
That's so good. President Kimball often talked about, when we look at cleaving, for example, he says, cleave unto your spouse and none else. He talked about the aspect of that means no sharing, as far as that goes. So when you cleave to your spouse, what you give to your spouse, you shouldn't share that with anyone else. That is intimate. That's private, and that's an outward reflection of your feelings. But then he also said this, and this has actually really influenced me, and I'm trying to always be better at this. He says, it's no sharing and no depriving. And so what you were saying, Cheryl, I think this is why I'm bringing this up, is we may have those inward feelings, and when we go through is we must not deprive others of those feelings we have. How do we manifest that? Through affection in the ways that are appropriate. And we need to learn to recognize the way people are doing this, because it's very different for each individual.
I think that's so true. You mentioned speaking it, and to some that means a lot, but to some others, showing it may be more powerful. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of someone I know who puts the towel in the dryer for his wife so that when she steps out of the shower, it's warm and fluffy for
her. Oh, that's
so
nice.
And I think, you wouldn't do that for everyone, but that's a very mm-hmm. intimate show of affection mm-hmm. for her, just to get that warm towel out.
I think I might write that one down and suggest that to my wife, Lisa, and say, here's what I learned today.
Hint, here's hint. An idea.
Yeah, here's an idea. But actually, I don't mind this, is because actually I believe that affection is something we can learn. I'm modeling experiences. I learned so many different things from my parents, even from my siblings. When I was a deacon, I was 13 years old, and a new couple moved into our ward, and they impacted me so much in the way they interacted. I remember thinking, I want to have a marriage just like that. And I would watch them. I was 13 years old and watched the way that they not just held hands, but I thought that was intriguing. Hey, look, oh my gosh, married couples actually like hold hands? I thought when you get married, you don't do that. That's dating stuff. But they were so genuine. It was so natural. It was so part of their relationship. It was the fluidity of it that I love so much. But the way they talked to each other, the way that they respected each other when they would walk, etc. It really made an impact. Modeling becomes a critical element of demonstrating this experience.
And then just simply doing it. Have you ever just sat in a room? And I just remember sitting in a room once and looking at my husband as he was talking across the room, and just felt deep emotional love for him. But I didn't say anything. And I've learned that when I have those feelings, speak up and share them. You know, it's...
That's really
I
good.
I like to hear
I
it.
Need to do better at that. I, as you mentioned that, I'm thinking of my husband just last weekend sitting in a corner, and we were playing a game with our family, and he did something funny, and he's just sitting there. His shoulders are shaking. He's laughing at himself, and I'm thinking, he is the most darling person on the face of this planet. But I didn't say anything to him. I thought it. And I probably said it to my daughters or my son. I know I expressed it to someone, but I didn't express it to him.
Yes.
So I need to do better at that.
You know, this is so good. And that comes with what President Kimball was saying, is don't deprive these experiences from individuals. It's so important and wonderful that we have them and we see them. But then find ways to be able to share, to connect, because that actually does bring an intimacy that's really fun. My wife has a laugh and that is so fun, and it's so genuine. And I've come to tell her more and more, because it's one of the things I just absolutely love about it. It's this deep, when she really is finding something fun and enjoys it, she has a deep laugh. And I marvel at it, and I just think, oh, why did you marry her, if someone asks? For her laugh? Well, there's many things, but it's because it's so real. It's a connecting experience. Does that make sense?
That's so darn.
I just love it when we recognize this, but I love what you're saying is, and when we don't deprive others of the recognition that we're having and tell them, I sure appreciate this. There's so many different ways. I think of, we talked about expressing words as far as that would be. Some people express words through written form. They write notes as far as that goes. That's a way to express affection, actually. And some people, they write, like I have a daughter who used to sign notes where she would write XOXO at the bottom, hugs and kisses. But as she started to grow older, one time I remember reading a note she wrote to someone, and it just had an X. And I said, oh, you forgot the O. She goes, no, I didn't. So she wrote her name at the end, Lauren, and then she put X. And I said, well, sweetie, isn't this hugs and kisses? And she goes, yes. And I go, well, you forgot the O's. She goes, no, for this person, it's just an X. and so I have, this is sad to admit, maybe, I don't know, but they're treasures for me, is I have a lot of my family are note writers. That's how they express affection often. And I save, I have them all saved. So if they leave anything in my office, I have a little wall over here where I save every note. And I've noticed over the years that with this daughter, I've learned the way she expresses that affection is if you get a lot of X and O's, she really likes you. And so I have one on my wall in my office there that has, oh, probably at least a dozen X O's. And I'm thinking, I recognize that actually that that's something that's very intimate for her and the way she's expressing. And I missed it until I started to notice that that's the way she does this through words.
I think what I really appreciate what you're saying here too is recognizing how others express themselves, because if they are expressing something through a note, then maybe the thing that touches their heart the most is writing a note to them in return, because that's how they're communicating in that love.
You know, this is really good. Is so we recognize how others are expressing that, and then when we recognize it, sometimes we implement that because that's the language or the use that they're using, and it means a lot to them. So some people say, well, I'm not a wordy person, so I don't say I love you, but I show it. That is so good, actually, so good. But maybe even better or so good plus is to do what you're doing and showing, but also use the way that they're expressing because it connects them in meaningful ways. I love this. This is really
great. You know, for example, now this is, you might think this is silly, but I love to mow lawns. I always just love to just see that straight line just go, and I like to mow it one way one time and then the opposite way the other time.
Cheryl, here's my address. Saturday would be a great time.
Well, and I remember driving home once, and I always told my husband, he was just one to just do it the same way all the time. And I remember saying, oh, I always like to kind of do it opposite. I love the checkered look when it does that. And I remember driving home, and he had mowed all the lawns, because it seems like I don't have time to do that anymore. And I just had to smile because he had done it the opposite way. And I thought, oh, he loves me because he, you know, and
that's
isn't
so great.
That silly? Just a little tiny thing, but he did something that he knew I liked, when to him it really didn't make any difference, but he did it.
He paid attention.
He paid attention and did something that I...
You know, that's such a good comment. I'm glad that that came out of that, is paying attention is an important element. I remember when my daughter was dating now my son-in-law, one of the things when we were just talking, well, what is it that you like about this fellow, or what's he like and stuff, is she mentioned, she goes, you know what? He pays attention to me. And I go, how do you know that? She goes, it's evident in the way that we talk. And for one of their experiences together where they were could see this relationship coming together is they went out and he did all these things that he had learned about her. Write music. She said she liked this. She said one of her dreams was to dance in a parking garage that was empty. They drove up to the top of a parking garage, played her favorite song. And for me, my heart just went out for my daughter and for my now son-in-law, because he paid attention. That is a great sign of affection, actually,
really?
Is a manifestation by paying attention and then acting upon it. So I love these little tidbits. And these small things actually come together to make great, great experiences, really. I think of notes and expressing through that, and this is probably a little personal, but it was a great learning experience for me as well, and the lasting experience that intimacy can have throughout a life, but affection can have, and it pays back dividends. My father had Alzheimer's for the last several years of his life, and as a result, it was a hard struggle to watch someone you love go through an experience where it was – in some ways, it didn't seem like it was my father anymore. And then there were moments where he would come back, et cetera. And after he passed away, it was actually a year after my mother shared, it was actually an intimate experience. And it was a very affectionate experience. But she was cleaning out her purse. She was kind of – and it was a year after my father had passed away on the anniversary of his passing. And she was cleaning out her purse and thought, it's just time I do this, and was cleaning out her wallet. And she – pulled out everything in her wallet, and there was a lot tucked in there. And she came across this folded piece of paper, and she unfolds it. And it was actually a note from my father. She had never seen it before, and she did not know when he had put it in her wallet. And so here, where she was having these memories of my father and how much she had missed him and et cetera. And I think my mom, she wouldn't – I've talked to her about this, wouldn't mind. But here's what my father had written. My dearest Andrea – thank you for being a loving and caring wife and a wonderful mother of our children. Thank you for your strength, your endurance, and unselfishness. I appreciate all that you have done for me for so many years. I love you with all my heart, Eddie. And so here she is thinking back, and here is a note, an affectionate expression of intimacy from a spouse that passed away a year previously. And oh, what that did for my mom. What that did for my mom. And can intimacy be strengthened even when it's from distance or beyond the veil? Well, Elder Scott said, absolutely it can. And I think of, well, what a wonderful that. It doesn't matter when he wrote that. It was a giving experience of expressing affection that still was giving dividends of intimacy. So these are beautiful.
Do you know, I remember when we first got married, spending hours and hours and hours making these little love cards, love letters, and on a typewriter in those days. And I can remember taking fingernail polish and painting a rose on there. And I don't take the time to do that like I used to. Of course, we don't. Marriage comes and children come and we get busy. And all of those little niceties sometimes just gradually slip away.
That's
unnoticed sometimes.
So sometimes I think we can maybe learn from what you're saying and say, okay, is it possible to be able to reclaim time or to do that? We may do it in a different way because of our time is a little more restricted. I have two of the busiest humans on the planet sitting here. But yet I know that we, and I'm sure and confident that you take time to manifest those things that are most important. So that's something we can all learn from, whether we're really busy, because I think we all are busy in our own ways, is to find ways to manifest and express our affection.
I was thinking, going back to words again, and thinking about a little phrase that my mother-in-law would write when she and her husband were serving, she and my father-in-law were serving a mission. She would always close her letters to the family, "I'll meet you in my prayers." And that became a little symbol of her love, every letter. And so when we served our own mission, that would be our little clue to our children, "I'll meet you in my prayers." Well, she passed away while we were on our mission. And it became a sweet connection to her again. It took on that much more meaning because it connected us to her and to our family.
Oh, that's so good. Thank you for sharing that. You can feel the intimacy when you talk about these experiences because they're so real. They're so genuine. I think that I like a word you used, a little clue. I think that there's not an inside joke, but there's an insidedness to these experiences because they're intimate. That's the whole meaning of the word, is when we have that intimate connection and people get it, that's special. I think of the way that people use nicknames. We've talked about that. Sometimes people hold hands. I've noticed couples and they hold it in a certain way where they'll hook one finger, two fingers, or they'll do it this way. Some individuals, when they have family prayers, it's a very intimate experience because they express their affection even in spiritual ways. Of the way that the prayers are taking place, some people will hold hands or they'll gather knee to knee, shoulder to shoulder. It's so different, but yet it's a connecting experience it's an insider experience. I think it's really sweet when we start to recognize these conveyances of the way that we feel about one another.
Just getting a sweater for somebody on a chilly night, it just shows that you have paid attention to what their needs are. And it can be done in so many different ways. Big things,
I'm thinking of my grandpa. Whenever he'd say goodbye to us, he'd come and tuck us in, and it was always very appropriate. He would just say, "What kind of kiss do you want tonight? Do you want a sweet kiss? Do you want a tickly kiss? Or do you want a noisy kiss?" And we had our three choices, and we'd always choose the noisy kiss because he'd blow on our neck, and it'd just make all kinds of sound.
Oh, that's
it was just
cute.
Tender,
I like that.
Nobody else could do that but grandpa.
Just the little teaspoons of sugar in it. Just in a life, they just add a sweetness.
And isn't it interesting as I watch you two talking about these experiences, how it's almost like they happened yesterday. They're so fresh, and yet it can be something that was long ago that brings the reality back to our moment. I think that's what the Spirit does so well, is it brings not only in remembrance of things that we felt once, but we feel it again. I mean, that's really quite the wonderful element of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is we don't just remember that we had a good experience, but we can feel that experience renewed again and again. And affectionate opportunities, when appropriate, that brings about intimacy, it's a renewing experience. I know that it sustains my mother, for example, when she thinks about that throughout, is it's been the enduring and endearing power to her as far as that. But I feel that same way. So when I have children who serve on missions, when we're separated by distance in families, there's still an interesting connection of intimacy by affection. I can't think of what a great blessing technology has been in things like with Skyping or over the internet. And yet, oh, that's not very good. Actually, it's a way to connect again, and it can be a very affectionate experience in the normal Skyping times, etc. I think this is really nice. Other ways that we express affection, like, for example, any thoughts on service or courtesies? Common courtesies is an expression of the way that we feel. I think this is often overlooked.
I'm thinking of a brother-in-law who makes Sunday dinner every week for his wife just as a way to say, it's my turn, I love you. And I think that's not only courteous, but a great way to serve.
I agree. I think of my wife. I'm raised by old school parents. My dad was from the South, and I think of my wife being able to receive something that she has noticed as a gesture of affection is opening doors. Opening doors. In some ways, I hear some of the rising generation saying that's so old fashioned. What, you think my arms are painted on and I can't open a door for myself? And yet I've always appreciated this about my wife, because she's such a very capable individual, and there's no doubt about it. She can get the door herself. But she's recognized that I was raised in a family where that was a sign of respect and affection. And she, and I'm going to say this very carefully because I want to be appropriate and right on exact, she allows me to open her door. And so it's a small thing, but yet what she's doing is she's allowing me to express, and even more meaningful is she receives it. She receives it because she recognized that something's very small, very small.
I think that's one of the things I've noticed most as I've watched around campus and watched the brethren with their wives. That's so common. It's the sweet, tender courtesies that are just an innermost part of them, and it's tender to watch them.
It is.
I remember my dad. You know, he was a farmer and a rancher. He didn't have time for a lot of, you know, fancy things, or there wasn't a lot of that, but I remember him just picking some wildflowers out in the fields and bringing them into my mom at lunch or at dinner time, and, you know, just didn't cost him anything. It just, but she had to have known when he bent over to pick those flowers that he was thinking of her.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. I love these elements of all these combined threads coming together. One of my favorite experiences from a daughter, she gave me a CD of all of the music that she thought was important from all of her collections. She would take a song here and she combined it. And she just said, here, happy birthday, Dad. These are some meaningful songs about you, you know, kind of a thing. Oh, it was a sweet experience just because she had taken time and she was conveying and sharing. But that has been a CD I keep in my car, and whenever I want to reconnect, I listen to it. And then I think of this daughter. I just think immediately of the daughter. And then it's kind of nice. I'm thinking, okay, and I don't know if it's the way she intended, but so she was thinking about this, about me. Mm-hmm. And it actually wanted me to be a better father and a better friend and a better, you know, all these things. But little small ways. But she knew it was meaningful.
And then when you're doing something for somebody, like if I'm doing something that I want to surprise my husband, just the excitement and the love that builds up in you as you are working on it and just trying to be secretive about it. And there are just deep emotions that happen just as you're preparing and anticipating how they'll feel about it.
I think of a proverb from the book of Proverbs. That was a big surprise, right? where it talks about if you want to be a friend, then show yourself friendly. I really like this. And one of the things that I think that it teaches that is worth at least mentioning when we talk about this experience is affection is a representation or a manifestation of what we feel. And so then if we feel friendship, we should show friendship. And I'm seeing sometimes, and I think that we can help in family living, especially in teaching children the appropriate expression of affection, is you should always align with what we're feeling. And so if we're friends, we probably shouldn't be acting romantically, because that would be a contradiction to the feeling. Does this make sense? And as a result, when we contradict those, then intimacy cannot be achieved. And so I think of some of the media we brought about media, and what we see in media is using affection in an open way where sometimes I'm like thinking, well, I can't tell who is – it was intimate here. It's who belongs to who, because they express the affection, whether it be kissing or even in sexual context, with anyone and everyone. And as a result, intimacy cannot be achieved. And so I think that's one thing I love about the gospel is if you are friendly, show yourself as a friend. Be appropriate. In family, we have family love that is appropriate within family. We have romantic love that is only appropriate within a relationship for husband and wife, etc., or at least in that stage perhaps, etc. Does that make sense? I think that's an important aspect that, and I love this about the way that the gospel actually teaches this.
I found a quote by Elder Holland that really bears this out. Matt, would you mind me sharing that?
Oh, I hope you would.
He says, human intimacy is reserved for a married couple because it's the ultimate symbol of total union. And then he goes on to say, totality and a union ordained and defined by God. I just think, you know, that is so – he says, can you see the moral schizophrenia that comes from pretending you are one, pretending you've made solemn promises before God, sharing physical symbols and physical intimacy of your counterfeit union, but then fleeing all other aspects of what was meant to be a total obligation, which is what we see in the world all the time. It's just – like you say, everyone and everyone. And I think when we think of affection in the world, it's almost always selfish, whereas real,
right.
true mm-hmm. intimacy and affection really is selfless.
This is a great model, and your last comments there was so good because that's what the Savior does. It's a very intimate experience that is an outcome when one comes through the atonement to him, because it was an act of affection, his expression of his love for us. Everything in his life was actually an expression of his love for every single one of us. And as we receive that, then we become in with him and he with us. And that was the great selfless act.
And the other element is his affection and his love for his Father, because they were one.
I'm glad you brought that up, because if you read your scriptures correctly, you catch that feeling, and it's really, it's a mentoring experience and a model of great feeling. I think that's really good. We are sadly pretty close out of time. However, we have enough time just to ask a quick question from the experts here. You have been sharing so many good thoughts and so many ways that we can recognize, understand the way people are expressing their affection and the benefits of becoming intimate within families and within our own marriages. So here's a question is for those that are listening, or even for myself, how can I improve in this? What counsel or suggestions might you give to someone who would say, okay, I can see the benefit of this. What can I do to improve affection in my marriage? What can I do to be able to improve affection and increase intimacy in our family? What type of counsel might you offer in that situation?
You know, for me, I appreciated this opportunity to just think about it and read about it, because it made me just stop and analyze how busy I get and just let it go. Just forget to look at my husband and my family and take the time to do these little niceties and these little gestures and expressions that I used to do.
Right.
And I think one of the most important things we can do is just really be aware that it's important, that it adds a sweetness to the relationship and to life, and it made me conscious of trying harder.
Oh,
just
I like
being
this.
More aware of it.
This is so good. And I even liked how you said you kind of analyze the situation. I've found great strength is I actually do this frequently. I'll go through all those that are on my in circle, my intimates. And I'll actually look through each one of my children. So how do they express? How do they receive? And how might I be better to connect? So I might need to do it in this way, because that's the way that they receive it and understand it, so that I can make sure that I don't miss this opportunity and analyze or look through every single soul, even as they're growing. Sometimes people change and they like to express it. So this is very good. Linda?
I agree. I'm so grateful for that opportunity, because I do need to improve a lot. But I think we can get overwhelmed with all these ideas. We want to do all of them. So I think what really would be helpful for myself is to prioritize and just say, what's one thing I can do today to let my husband into my life? What's one thing I can do today to let my child or my children into my life? What's one thing today You know, our ultimate family relationship is with our Heavenly Father. What's
right.
one thing I can do today to strengthen that relationship and let Him into my life and let, you know, and give myself to Him?
Oh, that's so good. Life by the inch is a cinch. By the yard, it is hard. I like this. This is very practical and good. And I couldn't help but think as you were talking of, I think affection is actually contagious, is if you do one thing, it's almost like it rolls into another thing. And it naturally does that until it starts to get bigger and bigger and not just become something that we do, but it's something that we are.
And if someone does it for us or to us, then we want to
reciprocate.
I think that it's time that we step away from the mics and get out there and start to do, perhaps. I like this. But maybe I could just end with a quote that I really like this from Elder Holland. He's speaking specifically here to the experiences of marriage, but I think it applies equally to our family experiences. He says this. He said, "No serious courtship or engagement or marriage is worth the name if we do not fully invest all that we have in it. And in so doing, trust ourselves totally to the one we love." I think that if we were to use that apostolic counsel, is relationships is an investment. And as we invest, the dividends come back in ways that are really, truly divine. And I think that we all can invest in ways that you've spoken of. And I am so grateful for the things that you have taught. And there's much more we could continue to talk about. But I think that this is something all of us can do, is to think, we can understand, recognize, and then implement. So thank you for your help. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.